For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. We're back. And you've chosen us to hang out with you to kickstart this wonderful work week. And for that, we thank you. Hope everybody's had a good weekend. And the week doesn't suck that bad. You know how it is.
The weeks are good at sucking.
It's true. That's true.
We try to avoid that at all cost.
We do our best, which is a lot of other people's worst. And that's depressing. But hey, we're all in it together.
That's life.
We are back in with a part two on Kyle's episodes on Incubi?
Yeah.
Incubuses?
Yeah.
Incubussies? So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you're going to want to go back into the future and listen to that. Check it out before you listen to this one. If you're new here and you don't want to listen to us talk for like the next 5 minutes, then you're going to want to fast forward. But if you like to listen to us talk, then hang out. Before we get into the episode, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come on over, take a seat, join the cult, be part of the community. It's cool. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. If you want a different listening experience, you can go over to our YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. And you can watch our podcasty faces say these exact words that you're listening to right now. Also, hit the Discord up. Check that out. Bunch of good people over there. Great community. Just a cool place to be. Just a cool place to be. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show of our listener episodes, Kyle's got some deets for you.
I do, unless you're a truther, because truthers hate us. With that being said, I'll move on and be professional. Yeah. easy peasy, show notes. Check them out. All the information you're going to need is in there. But if you want to hear it, I'm here to say it. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your stories out. Write your concerns. Write information, talk to us, whatever you got to do, send it to the email. It is the best way to get a hold of us. That's where we pay the most attention to for whatever reason. Also, with that being said, I don't really know. I feel like I've dropped the ball over these past 6 years. But if by chance, only if by chance, you have caught up on Hollow Sky, maybe go check out our counterpart, Eric and the Uncomfortable Podcast. Check him out. He's got some good listens there.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, that way, maybe we do a little bit better job here between a few of us of building a community. Don't know if that's possible or not. We're sure give it a try. So I will probably be shouting people out far more often. Don't ask me to do it. I'll do it of my leisure. you know, it just is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I agree, though.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help people out, you know.
Check homie Eric out. He's got a very, very sultry voice. You're going to like it. If you like weird stuff and you like real, real bassy, manly tone, Eric's your guy. Eric is your guy. But yeah, I will be petty because I'm too dumb, obviously, to be in the GATE program, and I'm also a liar. So sorry, my fourth grade self didn't realize what I was getting into.
Steve needs to do better, is what is happening there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so keep talking shit. Anyway, if you'd like to support us and our pettiness, there's plenty of ways you can do it. You can check out the Patreon. For $7 a month, you can go over there and hang out, get extra episodes, get early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, casket breath jams, sometimes coupons at the store. You get, like, advance notification of store drops. It's all kinds of good stuff. Speaking of store, hollowskypodcast.com. You can go over there, check it out. There's shirts, there's hats, there's beanies, there's stickers, all kinds of cool stuff if you want to rep the cult. Go over there, check it. It's the beginning of the year. We should have some new merch before too long. We're just trying to burn through some of the back stock first. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, mostly because storage at my house is limited. Yeah. So that's why we're trying to burn through the back stock.
I think that's the thing a lot of people overlook, that everything that's done through the show is done in-house.
Yeah.
Everything from recording to edit. The only thing we don't do is print our own merch.
Yeah, which I could, but I don't have the time for that because I do actually know how to do that.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Everything else is done in-house by us and our families. So we're trying our best.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate, most of you have patience and I appreciate that.
Oh, where was I?
I'm just going to post like 40 shorts in one day. It's going to be awesome.
We are petty as fuck right now. Anyway, also share the show word of mouth since if you want to, you know, be positive and petty, you can share the show word of mouth to all your podcast listening friends and all your weirdos out there. Just help spread the word of the cult. Shout out to you, any of the other podcasts you listen to. Throw our name in the hat. We can try to get something together and collab a little bit, do something cool. Also, go to wherever you listen to your shows, your podcatcher. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you leave us a 1-star, I'll just talk shit on you. But yeah. Find them 5 stars, I'll shout you out. Today, this week's, I always say today's, but technically it's this week's.
Same thing.
Yeah. 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Leroy Jenkins.
There you go. That's a classic name.
Leroy Jenkins. Top notch. 5 stars. You guys are awesome. Makes me want to run into a boss battle without listening to the plan. Every episode is a do not skip and has given me inspiration to finally start my own podcast. Cryptids and Cold Ones coming soon. Well, Leroy, we're excited for the Cryptids and Cold Ones. I feel like
their artwork is on point.
January 8th. Yeah, I feel like that show's already, I think I've seen it. That show's already ripping.
Their artwork.
They've been in the chat.
Their artwork's sick.
Yeah. Check them out. Cryptids and Cold Ones. They, you know, leave us kind words. We leave them kind words. That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's a give and take. So
clever.
Go over there. Peep them, show them some love, show them some hollow cult love, and just keep the positivity going. Not that we were like really focusing on the negative, because we were
UFO goon squad,
but yeah, UFO goon squad. Okay, now we're into it. What are we at here?
I don't know.
7:30.
Oh, they're gonna be pissed.
Show starts at 7:32.
That's all right.
There it is.
It's cool. We did some petty things. We did some good things.
We're good at being
petty. In the
petty.
End, it equals itself out.
You don't like it, kick rocks.
There's also that.
Well, I just headbutted my microphone with my water can.
Yeah, and your broke-ass headphones. Everything in our podcast studio is falling apart right now. My chair keeps sinking on its own, so I just get real short sometimes.
Shout out to Rodecaster for making top tier boss ass mixers and dog shit headphones.
This is true. I hate to say it, but it's true. Don't invest in their headphones.
This one's literally just hanging on like by a thread.
Mine is too. And we tried contacting them. They're not helping us. Anyways, past all that. All right. So we're going to jump back in here with Tessa's story from her book, Stalked by a Demon, which is a pretty good read. I would recommend reading it if you're interested, because I do leave out, as usual, I leave out big sections of the book. But we're going to jump back in where we left off. Little recap. We end on the note of Tess seeing something in the reflection of the TV when the TV was off, essentially gazing into a black mirror. The entity was kind of looming over her, and she tried talking to it, confronting it, and never responded. It just kind of stayed there. And at the time, she was pondering if this entity was good or negative. And I feel like that's a fair question, but at the same time, we do attribute shadow people, quote unquote, as negative entities more times than not. Not to mention everything that she's gone through has definitely been more on the negative side of things than positive. So I feel like she is doing what I would do, or Steve would probably do, and you kind of rationalize for the better of the situation.
Yeah, I feel like it's more so for a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, when you see something that you can't explain, the last thing you want to think is that it's there to devour your soul.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
But, you know, to kind of go against that, at the same time, when I was younger, I had a friend who could see things and claim that she talked to angels and whatnot. She had told her mom, who told my mom and who told me, that one day during a track meet, she saw a dark figure standing behind me, which, you know, instantly kind of freaks you out. But she gave the description of my dad's dad, who had passed away. And she said that she didn't feel like it was a nefarious being or whatnot. My question is, though, if it's a dark figure, how do you make out details in that? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times when we hear these descriptions of shadow people, they don't usually have many features other than an outline.
Yeah, I guess she would have to be the one to explain that realistically.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I wonder if she still has, like, abilities, for lack of a better term.
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in a long, long, long time.
If she's kind of harnessed those, or if they kind of went away, if she got older.
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. Hopefully, either way, in the end, she's doing all right. That's the important thing. But back to Tess. We talked about how she ends up telling her mother about some of what's going on. Her mother was like, that's weird, because when you were a little kid, you always talked about how the devil was coming to get you, and then you never would elaborate any further than that. You would just kind of clam up, which sounds exactly like what a little kid would do. And it is a terrifying feeling when you're trying to root for more answers and the kid just shuts down. Nope, I'm good. I want nothing to do with this. After a while, though, she gave up on figuring out who this dark hooded figure was. It was always with her, and she decided that she would just kind of like almost ignore him. Just, it's like, you know what? I'm not afraid of you. I don't care. Just leave me alone. I'm done with this shit. Leave me alone. Over the years past this, strange things always essentially take place in the home. She hadn't had a devil dream, which, if you recall, the devil dream is when she kind of experienced the incubus. Now, she didn't have any of these for quite some time. The lights would go on and off. Smells would still happen. The only difference is that the kids could now smell it and react to the lights as well. So the kids kind of halfway experience the things that she's experiencing. they inspected the house when in regards to the smells. They looked for dead animals, never found any. Then it all began to essentially worry Tess, because she began to think about how the smell was the strongest in her room. And her room was always colder than the rest of the house, which to me is a telltale sign that you got some fuckery going on in there.
Yeah. And the fact that the kids are experiencing it now almost exacerbates the stress and the anxiety of the situation, because now, you know, she's definitely in her mind thinking that if this thing can get to her, it can also get to the kids, since they're now experiencing it.
Yeah.
And you think that adds to the stress, which essentially in cases you hear where these things feed off negativity and anxiety and shit, it's almost like compiling itself on top of itself.
Yeah, which, you know, in regards to a negative entity, that's kind of a smart tactic as well, because if it does fuel off of negativity and fear, well, what better way to amplify that? Not only going after children whose fear is easily ramped up, but it also chains to the parent, who's then their fear goes through the roof as well.
Yep.
It does suck. Tess's son had a girlfriend living with him for a little while. She would even go on to experience things like a dark mass appearing, hearing things like whistles. So essentially, when it came down to it, Tessa's son's girlfriend would avoid at all costs being home by herself. She's like, I am not trying to be here by myself. I'm gonna go do some shopping or something. Well, I'll wait till you guys. You just call me when you come home, okay? I ain't dealing with this shit. And I don't blame her. Hats off for being a real one and staying there for the dude, but
whew. Bounce if you can bounce.
Yeah. Even the cats in the house would react to things. They would look at the ceiling and follow something with their eyes. One of them would act like it's being chased, and it would run into walls sometimes, which, I mean.
Yeah, I get that.
In the time that followed, plenty of strange things would take place. The doorbell would ring randomly. No one would be there. She would be tormented from time to time by, like, she would feel something pulling her hair or poking her eyes. Even seeing a large black dog in the house a few times.
That's weird.
And it's so crazy how vast her experiences are. She deals with so much.
It's got a very poltergeisty feel to it,
mm-hmm.
until you get to the nefarious shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like very demonic infestation-y. Like the fact it's got her questioning her own sanity. It's got people around her thinking that she's crazy. Like, it's very alienating of her.
Yeah. And it's almost like, because she'd moved so many times throughout this experience, and it's almost like she's the portal. You know, because we talk about portals being in houses and shit, but it's almost like she's the portal.
Yeah.
Because she's not just like experiencing the incubus. She's experiencing a shadow person that's watching her. Remember in the last episode, we talked about the short shadow people that were walking through the house. And
she saw like the cloaked men in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's like tied to her, but it's more than one thing tied to her.
Rift jewel anchor.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. But Tess would even go on to experience the classic missing keys. Also, one time she had surgery on her shoulder, and when she got home, she was laying in bed trying to fall asleep, and it felt like somebody punched her right in the shoulder she just had surgery on.
Whatever this thing is an asshole.
That's being petty right there.
Poking her in the eyes and punching her surgery wound.
That's what I'm saying. then she, so after she got punched, she looks around and she sees a man standing there, and he's got this like slick back hair. He smelled of aftershave, and he was just standing there staring at her. And then he ends up, I guess, dissipating and going on. One morning, which this is also another semi-graphic show. So
trigger warning.
Be aware.
Trigger warning.
It's really not that bad, but
mild trigger warning.
It's an adult conversation. One morning, she woke to an unexpected orgasm. She's...
Oh.
Yeah, she giggles.
Literally.
And says... and then she fucks up. She giggles and is like, whoever did that, you're more than welcome to come back at any time.
It wasn't that good.
No, because...
Don't say that.
Like, as soon as she realized the words that came out of her mouth, she's like, oh, no. She opens her eyes and she sees a gray mist floating, like, at the ceiling above her. And she's like, oh, no, what did I just do? And so she starts immediately trying to take back the invitation. She's like, no, you're like, I want you out of here. You're never welcome back, so on and so forth. And I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's a thing that you can just take it back once you throw it out there. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. You'd think you'd be able to. If you can welcome it in, you should just be able, like, if it's that easy to be like, hey, you can kick it. And it should be that easy to be like, nah, psych, no, you can't.
Yeah.
But again,
I don't know.
I'm not a demonologist.
No.
I'm not a spectral scientist.
You should be, though.
I'm trying. I got a lot of books.
You did fail the gate program, so.
Well, I lied about it.
You did? Well, that's true. You lied about it. That's my bad.
My fourth grade self wasn't privy enough to the information that was going on. Fucking dork. I hope you are listening, and I hope you realize I called you a fucking dork.
No, they didn't.
True.
On one occasion, she felt as though she was being levitated off the bed. She went into a paralysis and began to hear chanting. Then she begins to panic, which I think at this point anybody would. If you feel like you're floating off the bed and you hear people chanting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as she, it's almost like as she becomes aware and scared of it, she gets like she's being laid back down. She noted that the room, It's always been colder in the room. This time, during the chanting and the levitation, it was extremely hot in her room. Almost like she even described it as stagnant. And the fan was even on.
A gross word.
The room was dark, and the hallway light to her room was on. But she's like, the room was still darker than it should have been. It's almost like the darkness in the room was consuming the light from the hallway, like stopping it from illuminating the room, which is terrifying to piece that together in your mind. And the stagnant, like you said, the stagnant word just makes you think of like muggy and hot and just
like a crypt.
Yeah. Gross. But she began to see black figures kind of swirl around the room, and she did what she could do. She just started pleading for them to leave her alone. And finally, Tess comes to the hardest truth. She sees all this stuff for years. She thought it was just the haunted house. After a haunted house, after a haunted house. And she believed that in the end, these nightmares were just that. They're just nightmares. And that all this other strangeness in the house she moved into, she's like, maybe it's just that all houses have this type of activity. I'm just sensitive to it. And maybe these devil dreams are just dreams. Maybe I'm almost like exacerbating the situation. I'm playing too much into it psychologically. And so now I need to walk myself back. I need to tell myself this is all not real. I need to rationalize all the situation, which I feel like at a certain point in one's paranormal journey or experience journey, you do this. You try to rationalize your way out of the shitty situation that you're in.
Yeah, but like, you're already way in it there, bud. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's very, very minuscule chance that you moved into like four haunted houses.
I mean, but
not impossible.
No, not impossible.
But not probable.
I would also say that if she really is sensitive to the paranormal, that could sprinkle on to some of this. Because I figure a lot of old places probably do have subtle paranormal activity. I think that's a fair statement.
It's weird that this goes into this realm because the episode that I did also kind of goes into this realm.
That's weird.
Interesting.
It is interesting. But it even gets to a point, which I also feel is fair. She starts to question her own sanity. Oh, like, are there screws coming loose, you know? And I'm not going to lie. As I'm reading the book, I'm starting to question her sanity. Which it says a lot for me because I'm usually like an all-in believer. But you can't help to try to do this rational dance back and forth. And you because there was one in particular, and I don't know if I write it down, but she's in the shower, right? And she has this like recurring fear where she thinks she feels a presence, and she describes it as like a man outside the shower waiting to stab her. And I feel like for people, I feel like that's more common than not. I feel like one of our most vulnerable moments are when we are in the shower and we got soap in our face and we can't see. Because I know that I've had those thoughts too of like, man, this sucks. I don't know. It's just an unsettling feeling.
Yeah. Vulnerability is the perfect word for it. Like, that's why it's such a trope in horror movies. Like,
yeah.
Because you got the cat, you know, you got your shower curtain pulled and there's soap in your face and there's water and steam and you don't know what's going on. Yep. The only thing separating you from whatever's not in that shower is that little curtain, you know?
Which is no protection at all.
No protection at all.
So, also, you can also justify, like, because this is some of my thought process. A lot of people, because I do it, you try to avoid ultra scary movies or conversations or anything right before bed. Because then when you lay down to go to bed, your mind starts to reel on that conversation, on that movie, and it starts to kind of fuck with your head a little bit as you're laying in a pitch black room trying to go to sleep. And then you'll dream about it. So, with that being said, could her fear and her paranoia kind of collide at night before bed when we are in another extremely vulnerable state? And kind of create these dreams and create these situations and just kind of ramp up her anxiety and paranoia. And she's also going through this same thought process.
I also feel like on the flip side of that coin, it's exactly what an infestation wants. Mm-hmm. You know, it wants her questioning her sanity. It wants people who are privy to her story questioning her sanity.
Yep.
That way, there's not eyes on whatever the entity is that's causing it, because people are going to write it off that, oh, you know, she doesn't have all her screws tightened, for lack of a better term, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it just, with her book here, I do appreciate the style of writing, because and this is no disrespect to her at all. It is not like a professional writer would do. And I appreciate that, because there are some chapters that are extremely short. And just like we talked about in the last episode, the tinnitus. And I think I may even mention it in the last episode about how she'll write down these oddities. She's like, I can't directly tie it to the paranormal or even this situation. But this is weird. Is this something? And we've talked about it in Discord before. Super important to log your events. Yep. Because there may be a grander picture that you miss by not logging all these events.
Yep.
So I can appreciate, this style of writing, but at the same time, I also understand that for a not so convinced reader reading these things, it does make her look kooky, right? Because they're like, oh, this is obviously tinnitus. Go get your shit checked out, lady. You're crazy, you know? Most people don't think about it in the overall context of logging to see what's, not to mention that's how new shit's found and so on and so forth. But, you know, I don't know. But we go back. So she has all these thoughts running through her brain. She's trying to rationalize. She's trying to figure out if she needs medical help. And then something changes. She goes down for bed. She begins to go to sleep, and the hum starts. The devil dream is happening again. But this one, among all the other, are significantly, it is significantly different. In the past few years, she just accepted it, and she found that when she didn't fight it, it would get over faster, which is terrifying and disgusting and heartbreaking. But this time was different because one of her cats got in the way. As this devil dream's taking place, the cat jumps on her belly and is hissing. And it goes to jump. And as it jumps, its claws rake her belly. And it pulls her out of this sleep paralysis, the state. And when it does that, she is still experiencing the devil dream in her waking life.
That sucks.
Yeah. She could still feel everything happening. She could feel the hands on her body and so on and so forth.
That's devastating because, like,
yeah,
you almost feel like it's confined to the dream state, right?
Yes.
To where if she could wake herself up,
it's over.
She could be out of it. But now this changes a lot.
It changes everything. It changes everything. So from there, she definitely comes to the conclusion that it wasn't all the houses that were haunted. It's been her. This is all because of her. So she reaches out to the local Catholic church, leaves a message for someone to call her back. But this was essentially a failure. He called her back and suggested that it was nothing more than sleep paralysis. And for whatever reason, I don't know if this is logic or if this is oppression or what, but she, when he suggests sleep paralysis, maybe it's just for the comfort of her mind, she instantly agrees. She's like, yep, that you're right. It probably is just sleep paralysis. You're right. You're right. You know, she even looks into high levels of EMF readings because she'd done some research and she's like, well, I found out that high EMF can make you hallucinate, can make you do all these things. So I'm going to look for that. And she's like, I do have a bunch of electronics in my room. So she's like, all right, you know, this makes sense. This is possible. This is great news because this could be something that is being coupled with my sleep paralysis, or maybe this is causing all of it. So maybe I just, boom, maybe I just found the answer and the cure to all my problems. But the more she digs around, and she was actually able to find a message board where people were taking paranormal situations more seriously. She gets on there and she starts talking to people, and people are like, yo, this sounds like a straight up incubus. What you're encountering is not EMF. It is not sleep paralysis. And then she throws a curveball out there that I don't think many people have heard. She's like, why? If it's an incubus and it's a demon and it's evil, why has this thing started kissing me?
That's disgusting.
And one of the suggestions was maybe this thing thinks it loves you.
Also disgusting.
Dude, it's terrifying. And they're like, maybe that's why it's been following you around for all these years. Maybe this thing is somehow, in some way, in like this morbid love circle with you.
The connotations of that is just...
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's gross.
It really is. Gross. And I haven't heard stories like that before. And from there, it's almost like it kicked it off. The attacks start to ramp up, and Tess really, really, really starts seeking help. She gets a hold of this paranormal team that she wants to come over, and a member of the team, one of the women, show up because she lives relatively close. So she shows up, starts reassuring Tess, tells her to spread like kosher salt, and as she's doing this, she beckons this lady ends up beckoning the spirits to follow her home. She's like, I got this. Don't worry, Tess. I'll take these fuckers with me. I'll deal with them. Don't worry about it. Because Tess, you know, is like, well, like, what's going to happen to you then if you take all this stuff with you? She's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. But she also suggests to Tess that you need to start praying. You need to start asking for protection and stuff like that. So that night, right before bed, she did just that. She prayed for protection for herself and her family. And it's crazy because as she finished it up, she described something very interesting. I felt like I was being drenched in warm water. My entire body tingled and I felt complete love. She also noted that after that, the ring in her ears stopped. The noises, the voices, it all stopped. Which is a very similar description of when I was with my son talking to him about Jesus and how to ask him for help when something happens. I described the same shit, not the warm water feeling, but this tingling sensation come up through my body, and I couldn't help but smile because I just felt warm. Like, I'll describe it as warmth, but I didn't actually feel warmth, but it was just like, I don't know. I guess it would be described as like a love because I smiled. I wasn't afraid. I was just like,
hey, Holocult, do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Like, this is fucking weird that I'm feeling this way.
Oddly enough, it's described almost exactly like the same feeling I got when me and my ex-wife were at that Catholic conference with Father Machado, and he was blessing everybody with the holy oil, the mark on the forehead, and that's pretty much spot on what I felt like.
It's weird.
Even the warm water, and like it was weird. At the time, I was trying to write it off as like, I'm just kind of in the moment. You know, everybody here's kind of got the same mindset of what's going on. But it's weird hearing it from something completely different in a similar aspect, like from her point of view, from your point of view.
Yeah. And all three, I feel like all three of us almost in a way validate at least that feeling.
It's strange.
It's weird.
Strange.
It's weird. For a guy who tries to be as logical as I can, all the while, you know, kind of believing in the paranormal all the way, it's a weird, weird feeling.
Yeah, and like for me, who's not a religious person whatsoever, to have something like that happen and have like essentially a physical response to it, like I guess the way that I was feeling was, it's weird. And you guys have heard me talk about it before, but it stuck with me for a long time. Like whatever was happening is weird. And it wasn't a feeling of fear. It was like a feeling of peace.
It's hard to describe it when it washes through you like that.
It's strange.
Yeah. Well, one night after all of this, Tess feels a pounce on her bed, but it was heavier than what she's used to, because she's used to her cats jumping up on her bed. But she's like, this is way heavier than what a cat should be. So she looks over, and sure enough, it's definitely not a cat. It's a dog-like creature that she described as just absolutely hideous. It also smelled of death. She said it had a roundish head like a human. It almost had like a human face, but it had all of these bumps around its head. And they sat there staring at each other until Tess kind of like verbally stone cold stuns it. She's, and I took this straight from the book because it's awesome. She goes, "Get the fuck out of here, you ugly motherfucker."
Got him.
"In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. You get out of here and don't you ever come back, you ugly son of a bitch." And I was just like, hats off.
Taking the power back.
Congratulations. Way to get it. Way to get it. And she said in that very instant, it vanished. The smell lingered for just a couple more seconds, and then it was gone. And with that, essentially now the war begins. She finds her armor and her weapon, and the opposite side has theirs. So Tess begins to use this newfound weapon against the evil. She starts praying all the time. And at this point, it kind of does pour fuel on the fire for a little bit. She mentions how much the family began to, like her and her kids, how they start fighting just like crazy and just over little shit. And this is a really interesting topic because so much comes into play. You know, are they truly getting mad over petty things because of demonic oppression? Or is it mundane shit? Is it because of bills, work, holding a grudge? You know, there's just so many contributing factors to being petty at home with everyone around you. Even a simple hormonal imbalance in somebody can cause this type of agitation. But it's also always in the line with demonic oppression as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's context. Like if those things were happening and Tess wasn't having any of the other experiences, I just write it off as like, yeah, just normal life anxiety.
Yeah.
But she's literally being attacked by entities. So I'm going to go in the camp that whatever this thing is trying to stir up her life more and more, where she's almost, you know, got her mind on trying to keep her family together as opposed to, you know, going full bore at whatever this entity is with her protection and with her defenses and stuff. It's trying to like pull her out of that, essentially taking the power back, you know, move. And I think that's its first go-to is like, keep things stirred up in her everyday life, and she won't be thinking about what to do whenever we got her.
I definitely agree with that. I think you're spot on. But to further that point, like, remember when we were going through our stuff, it seemed like it was coming after my family, even in your case. Like, it went after your kids, too. Like,
yep.
That was one of the moves that happened. And it happened to both of us at the same time, where it kind of started trying to influence our loved ones, which is a weakness for us.
Yep, 100%. 100% vulnerability.
So I think you're right. I think it's dead on. But after researching and reaching out to people who Tess finds through, like, a TAPS website, they have, like, a community, like a Discord on there, which is also why our Discord is so important. They basically give her advice on how serious the situation is with demons and oppression. No matter what, you need to control yourselves and begin to do better. She's like, they're like, no more fighting. Like, you have, as hard as it is, do not fight with each other. Cleanse your house. Use your prayers. And I love the combination of, like, she's using sage, and at the same time, while she's using her sage, she's praying to Michael the Archangel, and she's kind of combining these faith and rituals, which I love that shit. Regardless, though, between this and talking with the family, they begin to notice an improvement. For a moment, you know, let's go ahead and assume that this isn't a demon doing any of this. It's just normal human behavior. It's clearly possible that if we were to convince ourselves that this demon is the real situation, and you pray, sage, and do better. Oh, man, sorry. My throat's super dry. But what I'm trying to get at is it's another situation where you could convince yourself of solution and problem, right? Because if they are being petty and arguing over mundane life shit, and you think a demon's doing it, and then they're like, hey, no more like, it's a self-correcting method.
Yeah.
You know, it's another one that's impossible to prove or disprove, because at the, I guess at the end of the day, you could think it's a demon all day long, and if you convince yourself of that and you do the steps to mitigate the issue, and you mitigate that issue, then you're like, oh, the issue is then mitigated. It's done. It's over with.
Yeah.
So it's another one that I find, like,
it's like confirmation bias.
Yeah. 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 That's a great way to put that. It's perfect. It really is. And I love these types of situations. I hate them and I love them at the same time, because it opens up so much more in the world of paranormal. You know, and it just, I guess it's just more brain teaser for me is what it is. It's just, I just find it super interesting. And it's more questions for me to ask in the grand scheme of things to acquire more knowledge. Anyway, she develops a ritual of praying at her bedside, giving thanks, and just really committing to the entire process, which is great. No matter what, whether it's a demon or not, it sounds like by her partaking in this process, she's bettering her life regardless, right? She's becoming happier and she's becoming more thankful for things. So either way, it's a win-win at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Even if it is, okay, say it is demonic stuff and she thinks it's just mundane everyday stuff, her taking steps to eliminate that anxiety and that stress from her life essentially also takes steps at taking shots at the demon, because it like thrives on that chaos in her regular life. So exactly like you said, it kind of serves both purposes, mm-hmm. in eliminating that factor.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like I said earlier, it's like these situations are just so unique and so intricate that it's fun to kind of like try to sift through and see the path, to see what's happening and see all the slides that are there. I don't know. It's really interesting. But it's interesting the way she ends up putting this, because human nature does this to us, but things go on for a long time since she started all the ritual and the praying and the being thankful. No more devil dreams, no more feeling of being watched. She did have small things happen here and there, very subtle things, but for the most part, things were really, really good. The odd part, though, is that at times she would sit and wonder about how this, and this is fucking bizarre to me. So all this is going good, no more devil dreams, and at the same time, there would be nights where she sits and she ponders, what if, since I'm not being attacked by this incubus, what if it's attacking someone else? And then she begins to have almost like the survivor's guilt about the situation. And then you could go several ways with that, but you could link that to an everlasting oppression from the demon, like, this is my way back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, almost like the sick injection that he gave her.
Yeah.
Because everything's going good, and then she starts to bring herself back down.
Yeah.
Almost in a roundabout way, almost beckoning it back at that point.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's like a symptom of it, like a residue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's constantly there.
That's gross. Yeah. But after this time, things are calming down, you know, and I feel for her because I get it. I get it. I absolutely get this. Everything's calming down. Life is going good. And then what does she do? She starts to lax on her rituals. She starts to become complacent, thinking that it's over with. Well, one night she's laying in bed. She's drifting off to sleep. And as she was doing this, she closed her eyes and said, and sees a man's face staring at her. Then this face begins to morph into what she figures a demon's face looks like. And more faces begin to show up as her eyes are closed. These faces start to close in on her. And as they reached her, she shot up and turns the light on. Just telling herself, you know, it was just my imagination. It's just me getting in my head. You know, I just need to go back to bed. So she lays back down, and what do you know? The hum starts. It hits real fast and hard. She said it felt like someone's hand touched her forehead right as the hum was taking place. But this time she shoots back up, rebukes the entity. She gets off the bed, gets on her knees by her bedside. She starts to pray. And to be honest with you, I truly admire the way she explains. Because I guess I bought an extended version of her book, because the original book comes to end here. And I do. I really admire how she writes this. She's like, I wish I could sit and say that I saw God, or I saw the angels come down, catch this demon. I wish I could say I beat him to a pulp. I wish I could say that I saw him burn and get tossed into hell, but I didn't. I prayed and my prayers were answered. That's it. So for her, in this moment, in the closing of the first iteration of the book, it's over. Like, it's done. After she did that, it was done. Over with. But
I knew there was going to be a but.
But like I said, I must have bought the second iteration of it, because it's the addition on. But Tess knows that the evil is truly never gone. Once in a while, she sees a shadow person or hears the hum at night, and she wards it off. It's an ongoing battle. From time to time, she would see a dark figure still, and on occasion, her son even saw the dark figure looming in the shadows. He called out for his mom one night, thinking it was her, but then the shadow just darts off. Not to mention, he states how much larger the shadow entity is than his mom anyways. She also notes that when her ears start to ring, she asks who or whatever it is to back away because they're hurting her ears. And I find that very interesting that she's under the impression that when her ears start to ring, there's an entity with, like, kind of breaking her safe space.
That is interesting.
It's a weird one. I've never heard anybody attribute, like, say it like that. One night, Tess was super tired, and she climbs into bed and instantly falls asleep. Well, just like before, she hears the hum and looks up to see a large winged black figure above her bed, which then flies down and lands on the bed. She feels the bed shake. She screams and starts to rebuke it, which then ends it. But the way she describes this, she's like, this was so much more intense and awful than my devil dreams. So whatever she saw scared her that bad that it was worse than all the devil dreams she's had. Which is, I think that's saying something, because I don't think anybody's trying to have the dreams that she was having.
It's interesting that she is such like a target for these things. Because it seems like it just keeps, like, when one is put down, like a worse one comes in.
Yeah.
Then that one's put down, then a worse one comes in.
It's weird. It sucks, man. It really, really sucks.
But you hear that in demonic oppression and infestation and stuff. It's usually never just one. You know, it's always multiple. Like once one breaks through, once one like gets through that defense, it's like an open door for whatever wants to come in.
Yeah. It's also weird in her descriptions, like how she was talking about how once she started all this, giving thanks and saying her prayers and all that shit, that it all went away for a while, except subtle things. And I've described the same thing to you.
Yeah, which I was going to actually bring up before I brought that last point up. It feels like maybe not all of it is the same, you know, like maybe not all of it is this nefarious demonic stuff. Maybe there's...
Right.
Maybe she is such a conduit that, like, not only is she, you know, being attacked by this excessive nefarious stuff, but maybe, like, other more benign paranormal things are happening just because she's such a conduit.
Yeah. I think there's something to that. I really do. Because she even has this little encounter that she noted. And it's just so subtle, but I love the way she approached it. I love hearing about it. But she has a lotion bottle on her dresser. And she's like, I position them in a very specific way, front facing. That way when I get out of the shower, I come right over to it, pop, pop. And then I do my, you know, I apply it, I'm good. And it's just kind of a little OCD thing that all of us do. Like we like our things very organized and in the way that it's the easiest to access for ourselves. But one day, the bottle itself is turned around. And she's like, what the fuck? She brushes it off, you know, resets it, comes back later. The bottle's turned around again. She's like, what is going on? So at this point, she thinks it's one of the cats doing it. And so she spins the bottle back around, pushes it all the way up against the wall, and puts things on either side of it so it can't, like, there's no way that a cat brushing up against it is going to turn it around. Well, she checks, and sure shit, the bottle's turned around. And so she's like, she kind of freaks out. She's like, you know what? Knock it the fuck off. Whoever's doing this, stop. Just stop. She goes, what the hell do you want? And she even goes as far as getting a pen and paper. She writes out, what do you want, on the paper and sets the pen and paper in front of the lotion bottle. And she's like, She's like, if you either answer my question or get the fuck out. I'm done with this shit. And she said she left that pen and paper there for months. And nothing ever happened with the bottle or the pen and paper. It was just done. Super weird.
I was waiting for like it to come back around and being like, until.
No.
Because I feel like that was... I applaud her for her bold move because this just feels like something messing with her brain again. Obviously, like trying to make her think she's crazy.
Yeah.
Every time, like, it's like the missing key phenomenon. Every time you come in and something's moved just enough to where, like, you're trying to make sense of it. Like, maybe the cat did it. You know, maybe the cat turned this lotion bottle around perfectly and put it right back in the place where it was. But I feel like asking it to communicate is probably not the route you want to go.
Probably not in her case. Probably not for most people, but I definitely get what you're saying with that.
Yeah, kind of felt like don't give it that power. Don't.
And you know what? Maybe it did. Maybe it did open it back up because they start to like see shadow, like a prominent shadow figure again.
It's weird.
I didn't think about it like that, but yeah, I think you might be on to something because she says one night she hears the front door open and close. And she thinks it's her son. And she's like, hey, Matt, are you there? Is that you, Matt? No response. She calls out again. Nothing. So she gets up to go check it out because she can hear like clanking dishes. And she's like, it's definitely him. He's just not answering me or maybe he didn't hear me or whatever. She gets to the kitchen and there's nothing. Nobody's in the kitchen. Nothing's going on. She's like, what the fuck? And she feels like something touch her face. And so she turns, and I guess I don't know how the room's set up, but she turns and she's facing a mirror at this point. And in the mirror, she sees a fucking massive figure. She's like, this thing was twice as wide as me. And it was a dark entity, but she could make out the eyes. She said the eyes were bulbous like a fly, like it had fly eyes. And it just, she's like, we stood there and stared at each other for probably 10 seconds.
Feels alien.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely does. But she's like, we stared at each other for at least 10 seconds, which felt like a fucking eternity in that moment because I was so scared. And so finally she turns to face the creature head on and kind of confront it. And there's nothing there. And so she's staring into the room where this thing should be. And she sees nothing. But at the same time, she's so afraid, she doesn't want to look back into the mirror to see if it's still there. So she starts backing up toward her room. She's like, there was not one part of me that wanted to turn my back to this thing. She's like, even though I couldn't see it as is, I just was not turning my back to it. She ends up going back to her room and holding up in the room. She probably went to sleep, which is what I would have done.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
It's weird how these things like have human features, but they're so exaggerated. Like I keep thinking about when all that shit was going on, the one that was like leaning in through the door.
Yeah.
How much bigger it was than a human, but it still had human features, which kind of fucks with you a little bit. Not necessarily Uncanny Valley because you know it's not.
Yeah, it's clearly not a human.
It's clearly not a human, but it's weird.
It is. Weird. It is. Yeah, I think how that like raises a fear factor.
Yeah, it does. That's what I was gonna say. It does it to invoke fear.
Yeah,
like, you know that it's not human, and that's the worst.
That's terrifying. That's not a fun feeling. For a while, she has more and more experiences in regards to the paranormal. She even has some more like bizarre sexual dreams. They're not like horrific like some of the other ones. They're more of like, I want to say pleasurable for her, even though she kind of is highly conflicted of it afterwards. And she notes, she's like, a lot of it peaked back up after releasing the book. So it was like the more she talked about it, the more it ramped up.
Just got more energy.
Yeah, got more energy. But she decided at a point in her life, because I, I'm assuming the kids had moved out, so on and so forth. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of it. This house is too big for me anyways. I'm going to downsize. So the son and his girlfriend is like, hey, instead of you selling this place, why don't we rent it from you? You can go live in an apartment at the place. She's like, all right, cool. That sounds great. Ever since she did that, it's all been kosher. She moved to this new apartment. She's real excited about it. Met a bunch of new friends. No paranormal stuff. Her son and girlfriend moved into the original house. No paranormal experiences. And she's like, you know, I've essentially learned to deal with the waves. Because if you didn't notice throughout her life, it does seem like waves. It comes in waves where she'll have all this stuff and then it cuts off and she'll get her peace for a little bit. And then something fractures it, and then boom, here we go, getting hammered again.
Yep.
And at this current time of the iteration of the book, it's all kosher. Everything's been great for, I think she said, a couple months. So, and it's crazy to me that all of it stems from one Ouija board session to a lifetime of just torment. And the fact that the worrisome part is that she hasn't found, because I was fully 100% expecting her to, once she had found God and started praying, going back to church, I expected it to be over with. But that was not the cure all this time.
Nope. I mean, the more we dive into like these cases, like Hellfire Farm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I know I'm going to catch hate for this, but sometimes maybe God's not enough, you know? Like, that, whatever was at the Hellfire Farm didn't react to it.
Like, yeah, that one was far more impervious to, because at least what she's dealing with, it does work on it, but it only works, it's like a barrier for that night.
And it did so at Hellfire too for a little while.
Like, yeah,
because they would do that, and then the shit would die down. But whatever the dog head Anubis looking thing was, is like, nah, like almost like that's a new god that doesn't work with what you're dealing with here.
Right.
You know, and that's not me like pushing a narrative or anything. That's what was like documented in the encounter. And that's terrifying,
you know. And but you also have to be realistic as well, right? Because in humanity storytelling throughout time, a hero's power dynamic is never like impervious, right? Like there's nobody out there.
Yeah, everybody has an Achilles.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody has that weakness. They find the enemy combatant that is almost their equal, right? The hero always ends up prevailing most of the time, but they're always really equal in power. And if that's not the case, if say God is all powerful, then it kind of, I'm not the biggest fan, but it goes back to, what's his face? Neil deGrasse Tyson. How he said, you know, he made that comment about God. Either God is not all powerful or he's not all loving. He can't be both. Isn't that essentially what he says?
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect of it too. And I'm not bashing on anything. So please don't take it that way. And I'm not here to do that. And this is all kind of thought experiment going on.
Yeah, it's just stream of consciousness here.
Yeah. Like, I know some people are going to take that personally and lecture us and be mad at us.
I know,
and that's
I almost didn't even bring it up.
No, I think those conversations need to be had. Because you can even look at it like I'm ignorant in the matter and explain to me, you know, help me see a different version of it. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Because that's what this is. But It is. I feel like it's inevitable that if there is good and evil, that they are matched in power. Because if they weren't matched in power, good would have stomped out evil a long time ago. It wouldn't exist.
Yeah. You'd think so.
Yeah. 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 And then that's within the confines of what we know as good and evil and the structures of it, all the whole nine. But you have to know that they're, I mean, good doesn't always win. And that sucks to say, but it's the truth. Good doesn't always win. And in this story, I feel bad for Tess. I wish it was one of them endings that was just like, you know what? I went back to Christ and it was the solution to all my problems. We stomped out the incubus and this, all these other things that torment me. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the case.
No, it feels like one of those things that has to be constantly upkept.
Yeah, and that sucks.
Yeah. Because it's
terrifying.
It is easy to get in a place where you feel solace and you feel safe and you feel like everything's done, so you don't have to put the work in.
Yeah.
And then whatever it is knows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way of putting that. Because the moment she becomes lax, it strikes again and it
feeds on complacency. Like
it's a weird situation too, because on one hand you don't want to deal with the upkeep, but on the other hand it's like, hey, it's my responsibility to upkeep myself. You know, it's almost like working out and complaining about being out of shape.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Or like battling addiction.
Yeah.
Right. Like you have to put the work in.
You have to put the work in.
That's why, I mean, they don't call it demons for nothing, you know?
Right.
So they come right back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Like overall, she's definitely had a net negative, but I feel like by her, like going back to her religion, and I feel like in a way it made her life more enjoyable. You know, it gave her solace. It gave her comfort.
Yeah, it definitely brought her more peace than she had without it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think at that point she's at a net, you know, a little bit more of a positive on with that. It just sucks that she hasn't found a end-all solution to a situation that happened when she was a fucking child. Like, there's no leniency for her being young and dumb in this case.
I think it was more than that, man. I think the Ouija board is just a symptom of it, especially the way her grandma reacted to it. Like, there was more shit going on there than we were privy to.
You might be right. You know, we might not even have the entirety of the story. Yeah. I mean, the Ouija. You're right. There could be a lot, because to be fair, you're probably right, because the mom, remember, the mom even recalled as a young girl, which would be younger than when she played with the Ouija board, would always say the devil was coming to get me.
See, I feel like the Ouija board was like a catalyst.
Might have been.
Like a scapegoat. Like,
you're probably right. Like, the more you think about it, I think you're right.
Or maybe these things were just sitting in wait. Like, give me an opening. Give me a reason. You know, crack the lock on that door.
We've also heard of family lineages promising sacrifices down the line.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
fucked. That's fucked.
Yeah. Like, just those things happen.
Passing the curse on.
Yes. Or, you know, it's one of them, like, it's like a credit card. Give me the reward now, and in three generations, you can have.
Yeah.
Payment is there. Yeah. Payment is there.
Yeah. That's a terrible way to think about it.
It sucks. But I've heard those stories before, and I fucking hope that's not the case here.
I just, like, it didn't sit. It left a weird taste in my mouth when that the grandmother and the mother were already kind of like in that mindset.
Yeah,
that bad shit's going on.
And it would suck, because Tess really, like, you read it throughout the book, she loves her grandma. She misses her grandma, and the whole nine with that, you know. So if that is the case, if the grandma had negative connections to it, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it might not even be that far. Just maybe that they were privy to a knowledge of something going on in the family lineage.
Yeah.
That, like, maybe almost out of, like, protection for Tess, they didn't bring it up. You know, they were just like, hey, don't mess with this because it could be bad, knowing that if you mess with this, it is going to be bad.
Right.
Because of things we experience in our lives.
That and parents do try to do that where they they will not tell you something because they know if they tell you, you're going to get curious.
Yep. Or afraid.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something there.
I think you're right. I think there's definitely more to the story.
I wonder how she's doing now. She's still. Yeah, me too. If she's still, like, dealing with weird stuff, because I know when she moved to her new crib that everything's kosher.
Yeah.
But is it still kosher, and will it always be? You know,
like, I bet it'll come back.
Which sucks.
Because, like, even with mine, you know, a lot of mine went away when I started doing my thing. But I still have subtle things that happen here and there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I hope it's all good for her.
Interesting case.
It's a weird story, man.
Interesting case.
We haven't ever done anything like this before, so
no.
And I'd be curious to see what everybody says.
It's interesting how it weaves a lot of things together. Thanks for hanging out with us, Holocult. Hope you all had a great Monday. Again, if you've made it to this point, you didn't listen to the first episode, do better. So you can go back and listen now. But. Yeah. Interesting case. So until we meet again, check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. You know the drill. Stay safe. Stay weird. And, man, I don't know. Just keep your protection up in all facets of your life. Because as soon as you lay your guard down, bad shit happens.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.